Hello and welcome to episode 2 of What's Your Point?
Welcome to What's Your Point? The podcast that gets inside the heads of business people, entrepreneurs and thought leaders in South Down. This podcast is sponsored by Navigator Financial Planning, the financial planners of choice for Northern Ireland business. Here's your host, David Crozier.
Today my guest is Philip Donnan of Philip Donnan Accountants. Philip talks about treating a business like a business and why accounting isn't just about the numbers, it's a people business. He also talks about his concern that local businesses should support each other. So let's have a chat with Philip Donnan. Philip, thanks very much for coming in. I'm really looking forward to this. You are the second episode, so we're getting used to this ourselves. So what exactly do you do?
Good question. We're accountants, so I'm not even going to go into that basic tax return accounts preparation.
The boring stuff.
Yeah, that's the bread and butter. That's the compliance. It has to be done. No choice in the matter. Delve a bit deeper.
Go into yes.
The bookkeeping side of it. Very interesting side. Something I've always been interested in. It's come back. I've been doing it a long time.
Right.
It helps create a better picture for people that are interested in it.
Let business people have a better idea of what's happening within their business.
Yes, a lot of people don't care. They're not interested.
But they should.
They should be, yes, but they're not. And I find there's more and more people are interested in what their business is actually doing. They're treating it like a business.
Yes.
Whereas in the past, historically, like from I started learning the trade, if you like, people weren't interested. They come in to get you to a tax return because basically they had to. When you're starting at the bookkeeping level, you can help so much more. Help people improve their business or advise them maybe. You know, you don't know everything, but you can help them maybe point them in the right direction. And know, look, can you save a pound here or can you do something else there? You're not charging enough maybe, which is generally what I find that people aren't charging enough.
So are you, just to try and understand it, so you're using the actual books to provide management information for people to make decisions about how they run the business in the future.
Yes, that's it, summed up basically.
So which, that's really interesting because I kind of think about accountants that it's all about tax and stuff like that, but it's more than that, clearly.
For us it is.
Right.
Right, you know, there's other plenty of other accountants out there still do the same stuff. It's just you come in, get your accounts done, some of them do payroll and VAT for you. Then produce your accounts, tax return, tell you, that's your tax bill, there you go, there's your bill, and that's it. You know, and that still goes on plenty around the place. And some people are happy, that's all they want. So it's the people that want that wee bit more that we can work with and help.
So, Philip, just sort of expanding a wee bit on what you said, are there still people out there that, although they're in business, as far as HMRC is concerned, they're in business, they're self-employed, or maybe they maybe run a partnership with a spouse or a family member, or maybe a small limited company, so that as far as the structure of it's concerned, they are running a business, but do you think there's a lot of people still basically, they might as well be, they treat it almost like a job?
Yes.
Right.
I seriously do. They treat it like a job, and then others just, as long as they've got a couple of pounds in their pocket at the end of the week, they're happy enough. They're not really necessarily into. Some of them don't understand why they're not making money.
Right, and that's where you come in.
And that's where we can come in. You know, like, see big numbers banded about like a bricky and a joiner and stuff making big money nowadays. Some of them are and some of them aren't. The problem historically has been guys say earning X pounds per week. And all of a sudden they think, I'm going to go self-employed and earn this money. They forget that they get into consideration running out of a van, buying tools, fuel. If they go to Dublin for a job, there's obviously toll charges and stuff. Them toll charges can amount to maybe 15, 20 a day, depending on where you're going. And they don't take this stuff into consideration. Basically, so where they're getting their £500, say, for their week, for their 5 days, when they take all this in, they actually don't understand why they've got 200 left in their bank.
So, I think you and I would agree that, before people set out to run a business for themselves, they really want to think about why they're doing it.
Yes, there's plenty of reasons why they do it or maybe need to do it, but certainly they need to. We had a guy, I suppose an example, he come, I've known the guy just to speak to. He knew what I did, he knew that the software we used and stuff like that through mutual people. Spoke to me differently and asked me much of a charge. It's like, how long is a piece of string?
Yes.
I can't really
physically
answer that. It depends what you're giving me or what you need. 2 years ago, coming up now, just 2 years ago, he approached me and see if I could help him. And I was like, sure, found out who his accountant was, because I don't want to be stepping on toes and causing ructions between people that I know.
Yes.
So he came in and he said, look, this guy's done. We left our books in April. This was end of June, start of July when he first come to me. He says, we left our books in April in dire straits.
Right.
He says, we've no idea what's happening.
Right.
We're using an online bookkeeping software. We don't even know if it's right because he won't tell us.
Yeah.
I was like, right. So over the space of the next couple of months, it was a new bookkeeping system to me. So we learned how to use it. Figured out that the accounts weren't too bad on the system. But figured out that he basically wasn't making any money. The other accountant came back to him in late September and said, we're going to look at your books now. And he was like, to be honest, he would have embarked at that stage. I said, look, the book's half done. He actually come back whenever he said, more or less have them done. So I said, look, let him finish them.
Right.
They are what they are.
Yeah.
We'll make sure some of the balances agree and stuff like that. And then just let him go with that. So over the next 6 months, then the guy turned the business around.
Right.
But that was because he knew his figures.
Yes,
of
course.
He had them in black and white.
Yeah.
You know?
And Philip, do you think a lot of this, and we're at exactly the same, is about telling clients the truth about themselves and about their money rather than just telling them what they want to hear?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And who do you look after? Obviously, I'm not looking at names because obviously confidentiality is a big thing in both of our professions. But I mean, are we talking about the small self employed? Are we talking bigger? What sort of range of people do you look after?
We've a small business, and the woman's turnover is in around about £7,000 a year.
Right.
To look after her. We do have some employees.
Right.
Who maybe earn in excess of £100,000 a year that need a tax turn. So, they need small bits.
Senior executives that,
So with a small sole trader like that, £7,000 turnover, we have one business there, their turnover last fat quarter, I think, was £1.2 million.
Right. Okay.
Right. So,
so it's a fair old range.
There's a big range,
Yes.
One stream to the other, probably somewhere in between is probably more where most people are at.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about your journey, Philip, because obviously you've now set up down the street and from us here and Warren Point, but you didn't start there.
No. I suppose GCSE level.
That's a long time ago. Not as long as me, but
GCSE accounts was offered at that point in time. I went to St Mark's here in Warren Point, and accounts was part of it. It was an offering, and I enjoyed it. It progressed from that to I went to Newry College, Newry Tech as it was then, and did a GMBQ in Business Studies. Again, loved the accounts side of it, but didn't really know where I was going at that point. Probably the careers advice was disgraceful, and that's why I've ended up the way I've ended up.
Right.
From both places, probably the careers was terrible, advice wise.
So even though you've gone down the non degree, that more what's the word I'm looking for? Almost the industrial way in. You haven't found that great.
I think that side of it is fantastic, but it's because of the wrong careers advice that I was given that I ended up going that route.
Right.
Basically, our careers teacher at the tech was, you have to go to England. The university's here, you won't qualify to get in.
Right.
You'll have to go to England. I'd never been anywhere other than Ireland.
Right,
a lot of people at 17, 18 jump at the chance to get out of home. I was probably the other way around. So qualified as GMBQ Business Studies, and the next level nearly was the HND in Business Studies. But I was working in the local supermarket. I was working there. Guys I knew in there needed work done. I was busy working, so the HND in Business Studies didn't really happen. I'm not telling a lie. If I had time, I went to tech. If I didn't go.
Right.
So I basically was too busy working. Not in accounts. It was actually stacking bread on the shelf. In local supermarkets as well. So it was my dad then that reined me in a bit. He says, no.
Slapped you about the head a bit.
Yeah. So looks, you need to make a bit more of a decision here of what, where you're going, which was a good thing. This is where the careers advice actually commit more better. And
right.
Whenever I spoke to the men in the tech at that point in
right.
time, the accounting technicians was
right.
in the college uh-huh. in high tech at the time. So they sort of said, look, basically, go and get a job. They'll put you through it. And mm-hmm. you know, if that's what you're interested in, mm-hmm. you like doing it. So just basically sent the CV out uh-huh. to a load of accountants around Uri and
uh-huh.
got a job with one of them
uh-huh.
and done the accounting technicians course.
Uh-huh.
And then that was the start of the...
So that's interesting. So they charted the degree course would end up almost at the higher level, whereas you've gone in at what some would perceive to be the lower level, but it's actually got you into a business niche where you can help people with their books that, in quotes, big boys, close quotes, might not be interested in.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Is that a fair comment?
Definitely is.
Right. And what do you think of the... So right now... you know, I've three boys and two of them have done degrees. One of them is using his degree, the other one isn't. The middle one started off and didn't. But there still does seem to be this peer pressure or pressure from schools and colleges. You know, you have to do a degree. What would your response to be to that?
You don't have to do a degree.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, that's for sure. There's a lot of apprenticeship schemes
yes.
now, which
yeah,
are far
I would
better.
Agree with that, yeah.
You're getting in, you're getting your practical experience uh-huh. as well as a bit of study.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you'll miss out on the partying and uh-huh. maybe making a few friends here and there
uh-huh.
or a few acquaintances, whatever you want. You know,
yeah.
you will miss out on that side of it. But I did speak to Olivia there this morning before I came over.
Mm-hmm.
She'd done her degree
mm-hmm.
And it ended up, it wasn't directly accountancy.
Uh-huh.
She had to do accountancy or advertising with accountancy uh-huh. or something like that. And she said it was, that's probably her biggest regret.
Right, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know. So, so you were working for a firm. So what then made you do what you've actually said 5 minutes ago, might not be the best idea for everybody to do, i.e. go out on your own?
I suppose it was the traditional accountancy firm.
Mm-hmm.
Was... You left, the client left in their bag of papers.
Yes.
They'd done their VAT.
Their physical or metaphorical Tesco bag.
Yes. So you prepared their VAT return.
Uh-huh.
Got it submitted for them. Them days it was pen and paper.
Yeah.
Then you had to come in and do the VAT to pay, they wrote you a check and it was signed and posted off or whatever the case might be. PAYE was done, most
mm-hmm.
irregular, could have been done once a year for
mm-hmm.
some people.
Yeah.
Again, it was just the traditional was, you needed this done. Was compliance.
Yeah.
The firm itself probably weren't interested.
Right.
Much more than that. I find people are saying to me, we need this done and we need that done.
Uh-huh.
The bank's looking at that. And I was like, well, we don't actually do that here.
Yeah. Not our bag.
Yeah. So they were saying to me, can you not do it?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't actually, I've never been taught how to do it.
Right.
So I was like, well, can you not do it?
Uh-huh. Well, I better find out.
So I sort of had to figure out some things along the way. Thankfully, I have a few good friends that
mm-hmm.
I could turn to and
mm-hmm.
ask, who had probably learned it but not
yeah.
necessarily used it either. And sort of, it was a step on from that. That I suppose when I worked in, I was still working in the supermarket as well,
yeah.
to keep me occupied at nights
uh-huh.
and weekends. And one of their suppliers.
Uh-huh.
He knew what I was doing, so he said to me one day, he says, you haven't come up to do my books yet. And I was like, you didn't actually ask me.
Uh-huh.
He says, well, when are you coming up to
right.
start? And that sort of helped push me, I suppose.
Right.
A bit. I suppose my mum and dad have their own businesses as well,
yeah.
so it sort of probably helped encourage me down
mm-hmm.
that route a wee bit. With an entrepreneurial spirit,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. Again, work doing that guy's bookkeeping effectively. Was where that's
yeah. So why were these people, so they were clients of the firm that you were working for, why were they asking you?
I was their point of contact in
right.
the firm.
So people doing business with people again?
Yes.
Right.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
So
you, these clients that you were working with, they were asking you to do this. So what did you learn from that, Philip, that you have then brought into your own business? What was the importance of that?
Everybody's a person.
Yeah.
And you have to treat them as people.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter what line of work you do.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And do you think it's dangerous, no matter what level you're at in the business, if you lose sight of what it is your customers actually want?
Yeah, that's very dangerous.
So even in, this is really interesting, because even in a profession that we as lay people are thinking, this is all about the numbers, this is all about, you know, 1 on 1 makes 2, and, you know, 1 million and 500,000 makes 1.5 million. Actually, what you're saying is the success or failure of the business is not about the mechanics, it's about the relationships between the people and the business. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is fair, yeah.
Tell me a bit about what you see the future in the accountancy profession. You've already mentioned online tools, and do you see that as a threat? Do you see it as an opportunity?
It's definitely an opportunity that needs embraced. It's mm-hmm. just a matter of getting buy-in from the client a mm-hmm. lot of times. In some cases, Making Tax Digital has changed things so much for a lot of people.
And we haven't, is it fair to say, we haven't really fully seen the benefit of it? Because again, you know, I think a lot of people, as you kind of alluding to there, see it as a bit of a negative, but I'm not entirely sure that it is a negative.
It's not a negative. For some people that don't need the complexity of a lot of bookkeeping and stuff like that there, and if we can make it work using mm-hmm. technology, we do. And it's other people that, because of the way the VAT's working, you need to record things mm-hmm. a lot better. And it's just getting that working.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cost for them, mm-hmm. which they didn't need before.
Yeah. So this is again about the future of the profession. So again, none of us are going to force our own children to tell them what to do. But if your son or daughter was sitting in front of you at 16 thinking about GCSEs, would you say to them, accountancy is a profession they should go into?
Yes.
Right.
I would.
Okay, why? Because not everybody says that.
Yeah, not everybody.
No, I don't mean about accountancy. Not everybody says that about the profession that they're in. So I'm really heartened to hear you saying that.
Yeah, it depends how much you enjoy it.
Yes.
Like, I love going to work.
Yes.
It's not work.
Yeah.
You know, there's nights at 1 o'clock in the morning you'll find me sitting fixing somebody's mess they've made using the bookkeeping software because they want to do it themselves. You know,
and that's just, you've hit the nail on the head there. I think Philip Martin Bradley, in an earlier podcast, I remember him saying, he says, a lecture of his says, if you're looking at the clock at 5 to 5, change jobs now.
Yeah, and that's right.
Yeah,
you know, I did when I moved from the original firm I was in. I think it was there 10 or 12 years. Mm-hmm. I moved from there. I went to another larger firm. Mm-hmm. I lasted 9 months there.
Right.
So I did. Probably because it was too restrictive.
Yeah.
You know, they were a bigger firm, they did a lot more, and I learned a lot in that 9 months I was with them. But they were too restrictive on me.
Yeah.
Whereas before, the firm I was in, not that I could come and go as I please, but again, I could do my week's work. There was no query, nobody looking over my shoulder. As long as the work was done, it was fine. When I went to the bigger firm, it was the total opposite.
Yeah.
If I had started in the bigger firm, I don't know if I would have got through.
So you've gone from we wanted to get the job done, almost an education in terms of this is what self-employed might look like, to this is what self-employed definitely doesn't look like, and decided that's not for me.
So that
touches on something, to go right to the very start of the thing where you're our conversation, where you're saying that I'm making money here, but it might not always be about the money.
Sometimes people just have a passion for stuff and they really like it. I suppose not too many everybody needs to make money. You'll find, I suppose, the farming community, mm-hmm. a lot of them guys are more into it's for the passion of the land.
Yeah.
I have a man there, he's in his 80s somewhere, and he's been through, him and the father used to farm pigs. When that hit the fan in the early 2000s, like, he went out to work for the first time in his 60s. He had actually left work because he took a massive heart attack.
Yeah. He was the stress, the pressure, and everything else. Yeah,
you know, but he still has whatever head of cattle today.
Right,
and he says, like, he gets up in the morning. If he didn't see him in the field, he doesn't know what he would do.
And I think this is really important. So some people, that might be about the money, but for you it maybe wasn't. It was about the freedom to do what I want to do. I don't mind working hard. I want to provide the service to my clients. For other people like myself, I will want the freedom to take time off and take some holidays. for other people it might be, I want to contribute to the local community, I want to contribute to charity, all those sorts of things, and it might not just be about the money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
So obviously you're based in Warren Point now, and you know, you've got family roots here and everything. But so why this area? How do you see business in South Down? And don't restrict that to Warren Point, but because I know, because you and I work together, and you've introduced the clients all over County Down. And how do you see business in this area?
Difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Point itself is a bit strange for customers. They don't necessarily support each other.
Uh-huh.
I find that a lot. Businesses, small businesses open Warren Point. People I know have come to me and
uh-huh.
I look after them, which is great. But they don't last long.
Right.
Because they aren't getting the support.
Right. That's disappointing.
Very disappointing.
Uh-huh.
Like, there was a shop across the road from here,
mm-hmm.
and there's a woman used to stop with a man every day and ask him if he could do such and such.
Mm.
Yeah, no problem, I can do that. And she walked as far as the bus stop, up past, and went in here and got it done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She'd done that on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
And he ended up closing up.
Yeah.
Because he's just not getting the customer.
Uh-huh.
Don't know for why.
Yeah.
But it is, does seem to be
right.
A strange thing in Warren Point.
Uh-huh.
Not knocking it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we do need to encourage each other to do business with each other with, and support our local community. So why are you in Warren Point then?
I worked in Newry for long enough.
Right.
I didn't want to be doing the daily commute effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that far away, but to miss the traffic, either go at 8 o'clock or go mm-hmm. at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the office rent and stuff they got in Newry mm-hmm. was double the price and things.
Mm-hmm.
So Warren Point was a
mm-hmm.
fall out of bed and into work practically,
yeah.
uh-huh. Good or bad.
Yeah.
And
more time with the kids in the morning and the evening,
like,
and all that stuff.
At the minute now, I've a girl in P2, so
yeah.
like I drop her to school mm-hmm. every day and
mm-hmm.
hand her down into mm-hmm. work. You know, cause wife works in Newry,
mm-hmm.
she starts 4 to 9,
mm-hmm.
so just not possible
yeah.
for her to do it.
Yeah.
So you do get that thing. Yeah. And if something happens, like the childminder just text me before I come up to see if I was at home
yeah.
by any chance. Could I get something? Because
uh-huh. yeah.
of what's going on. So I can go do that now.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was in Newry,
yeah.
you would think hard about it.
So I think you are making an interesting point about there is an opportunity. Because, I mean, my wife, there was the whole nonsense last week about, you know, no toilet rolls in Tesco's. And you go down into Spar here, and the shelves are full. You know,
yeah.
there's nothing wrong, and I think there is that opportunity to support local. And there's not much you can't get in this town. The corollary of that is, I suppose, businesses mustn't take advantage of that either. You know, we can't treat each other like a captive audience. So that if somebody's coming to me, they're going to get a fair price for a good job done. And same with you, and same with the shops. I don't actually think that happens locally, but I suppose we need to be aware that if there is two sides to that coin, if we're going to support each other, it's each other. It's not me supporting that business and them not reciprocate.
Yeah, exactly. I think from Warren Point itself, the parking is
yes.
causing serious
yes,
problems.
It is. Yeah.
Guys, clients used to drop stuff off of me, they would
yeah.
come in
uh-huh.
and you got half an hour's chat with them.
Yeah.
In that half an hour chat, get a yarn
yeah.
with them, you know, you
yeah.
find out maybe they're thinking of something or doing
yeah.
something, or maybe, you know,
yeah.
you find out a wee bit more about what's going
yes.
on in their life at that point
yeah.
in time. That hasn't happened now.
Like, right.
A guy came in last Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Thursday morning he came in to me. That's the first time he's been in since last
uh-huh.
June.
Right.
So it is,
yeah.
which is very annoying. Now, when I started my business, I went round people's houses.
Yeah.
Nights, weekends, didn't
yeah.
matter. It still doesn't matter.
Mm.
This particular client, he doesn't really want you calling
yeah.
to the house, which
yeah.
is fine, you
yeah.
know. But you're not finding out.
You're not getting the proper interview with
no.
him. You're not getting the proper conversation.
No, because you go in, sit down with somebody at the kitchen table and have a
yeah.
cup of tea, you'll find out something is happening.
Yeah.
You know, it could be something minor, but,
uh-huh.
you know, this particular client texted me one day to say, the van's broke, or
uh-huh.
he's thinking of changing the van, sorry, and because he's going to save tax
yeah.
on it. And I was like, that's pointless,
uh-huh.
right? Not stopping from changing the van, he
right.
only has it 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, he does big miles, but
yeah.
not that major. The other one he
uh-huh.
has 12 years.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, after half an hour of silly texts, he
uh-huh.
told me that his other van had broke down and doesn't work anymore.
You haven't got the full story.
No.
Yeah.
So, where if I had a meeting with him, I would have knew that Van was causing him grief a month earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and...
So, I think there does need to be some serious conversations, because I do think it's to do with the docks and Brexit and their fears and the changes around that, but something doesn't need to be done about it. I don't quite know what it is, but Just one final question, Philip, and this is more a philosophical one. If, you know, I alluded to it earlier about, you know, would you advise your child to become an accountant, and you did say yes, but in a deeper, if we think about that in a bit more deeply, what one thing would you want your 18-year-old self to know now, knowing that you know now?
I suppose when I was 18, I was quiet, didn't, plenty of friends and stuff like that, but I didn't do stuff, I didn't go out, I didn't, I sort of kept myself to myself, and I still pretty much do, I'll speak to my neighbours, but I don't go and start and have a half an hour chat with them necessarily, and there's no reason for that, but that's just me. I think, I suppose a lot of the time I would have been possibly saying, what does that person think of me? And I think that's something you need to just put to the back of your mind, and get on, speak to people if you can or whatever, but just, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think what you're saying is, if I could sum it up, is that no man is an island, and accept that you're part of wider society and embrace it rather than pushing it away.
That would be fair enough. I think probably me being so quiet myself has probably held me back from business a lot.
Well, for all that, maybe so, but and that's not for me to comment. But I mean, you've got a pretty successful business up and running, and goodness knows what you might have done or you might yet do if had you been slightly more outgoing. But what I would just say, my own observation, that is, you might say that about yourself, but meeting you in the street or whatever, you always stop and talk. So that's maybe something you've forced yourself to do.
Yes. Well, right. I suppose it was brought up that way.
Yes.
You know, you don't, I'm trying to do that in my own kids. Yeah. So you don't, you know, speak to people. Yeah. You know, just try and say hello.
Yeah.
Is possibly all it takes at times. Yeah. But whenever I was 16, after done my GCSEs, there was a job come up in the local supermarket, and basically I was put into that job.
Right.
And that's probably one of the best things that ever happened, to be honest with you. So over the next few years, like, I did really change a lot, but I'd say it's probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And it's something I find that the younger generation aren't getting the opportunity to now.
Right.
Either by parents holding them back.
Right.
About 7 or 8 years ago, I had a fella come in from university with his degree in accountancy. Pretty top-notch degree. So I thought, right, I'm going to give this guy an opportunity. He might be worthwhile here. Mm-hmm. It was this guy's first job.
Right. Okay.
And he couldn't understand why he needed to be at his desk. I had to actually sit him down and tell him to start work at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. He couldn't understand why rocking in the door after 9 was an issue. And his dad was dropping him off.
Right. Yeah.
So what does that tell you, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I find the younger generation just are not necessarily getting the work.
The work side. Ethic. Yeah. So, I trying to maybe summarise that back to you, and if what you're saying is, life isn't going to happen to you. You need to pick it up and run with it, and some work will be needed.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Philip, that's terrific. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time and what you've said and shared with us. And thank you very much.
No problem, Dave.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Philip Donnan. If you would like to know more about any of our guests, please have a look at the podcast section of the Navigator website, navigatorfp.com. If you would like to be a guest on What's Your Point, drop me an email, david@navigatorfp.com. Do remember to subscribe, and we look forward to chatting with you on the next episode.
What's Your Point is sponsored by Navigator Financial Planning. You can find them at navigatorfp.com, on Twitter @navigatorfp, and Facebook Navigator Financial Planning. Please subscribe to get future episodes and stay up to date with what's happening in business in South Down. Enjoy the rest of your day. Navigator Financial Planning is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.